Virtus is the Latin word for manliness, but it also implies excellence and courage. Welcome to Virtus, a show dedicated to inspiring and cultivating virtue, character, courage, excellence, manliness, and honor. I am your host, Bo Hutchess. Well, hey there, and welcome back to the show. On today's episode, I want to continue my intermittent series that I've started called Earthly Christianity, where I talk about the earthly elements of the faith. Sometimes people, when they think of Christianity, they think of just a spiritual thing and just things that we believe in our minds, but Christianity is very earthly, and it has to do with how we interact with the physical world around us. And the episode for today is a philosophy, a theology, how to think about the body. And in particular, I want to talk about three things: how our faith is exercised through our body. I want to talk about fitness, and I want to talk about how we dress and operate in the world. Obviously, a couple things up front about the body. God created us with bodies. He created us male and female with intention, purpose, and design. And we also know that He created them, and He will recreate them when we get that glorified body, when our old bodies, our old shells will be put off, and we will have that incorruptible body, as the Apostle Paul talks about. Again, our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We have a body, we have a soul, and we have a spirit, and the spirit resides within us in our bodies. And I guess the first thing to start out with is the idea that our faith is lived out in the body. We can't just have a mental faith. Christianity is not Gnosticism, where we have a suspicious eye towards the physical world. Our faith is lived out in the body. When we think about the spiritual disciplines, prayer, fasting, reading the word, partaking in worship, raising our hands, getting down on our knees in confession and contriteness. When we partake of the sacrament, we hold the body and blood of Christ in our hands. All those things are lived out in the body. Although the foundation might be in our hearts, as we believe by faith in our hearts, and as we think certain things about and learn certain things about the faith and the renewal of our mind, that renewal process of the mind works itself out in the body. And I think that's really important to take into consideration, that we live out this faith embodied. Even the actions we do, like I said, going down on our knees in prayer is communicating something. When we raise our hands in worship, it is communicating something. And so our faith is really lived out in the body. The second thing I want to talk about is fitness and just taking care of your body. And really, I've said this several times in the podcast, that men were made to be strong. We are made for it. Our nature speaks to it. Our creation speaks to it. And I've talked about this a few times, you know, how our bodies are literally designed to be stronger than the female body. And that should really prompt us to do a few things. It really should encourage us to take care of our own bodies. And we should be men who pursue strength, who practice strength, who pursue growing in strength. So we need to have a workout plan. And I really encourage all men to work out, or at least to be active. You might be in a profession to where, you know, you work outside all day and you get your activity in through your work, and that's fine. But if you're the type to sit behind a desk all day and you don't have much action, you really do need to have a workout plan. And it doesn't have to be something, you know, flashy and amazing. I'm not asking us to be bodybuilders. For example, myself, my workout regimen is essentially kettlebells and calisthenics and bodyweight calisthenics. That's my go-to. Usually my workouts take 30 to 40 minutes, and it's just a blast, and it's a joy to be able to grow in those things, to grow in strength, to cultivate strength. So it doesn't have to be a very intense thing. It can be a very simple thing. We need to be moving. We need to take care of ourselves. And really, there's no excuse not to. The fact of the matter is, in our modern day, we work far less. We have far more comforts. Everything is so much easier for us nowadays. We have far more time on our hands. We really have no excuse not to be in good shape, not to be taking care of our bodies. A couple things that fitness teaches us, or a couple benefits of working out and taking care of yourself, it teaches you discipline. It really does teach you discipline. When you're on that last set of squats and you want to just, instead of doing five squats, you want to do two or three, but you push through to do five or six even, it really does teach you discipline. It teaches you resilience. A couple other things that fitness does, when you're in shape, when you're taking care of your body, you really do have more opportunity for literally everything. There's so much more on the table when you're healthy, when you're in shape, as compared to as when you are weak, when you're not in shape, and when you're unhealthy. A couple things that fitness does for us, a couple things that we have more opportunities for in fitness is ministry. We can serve longer. We have the capacity to serve better when we are in shape. We aren't such a burden on our family when we get old. We could live a longer life, and hopefully, if we continue taking care of our bodies into old age, we won't be such a burden on our families. We all know people whose parents are extremely unhealthy, and they take a lot of work. So I think it's incumbent upon us to try to stay in shape so that we're not such a burden on our families as we get older. We need to be like Moses. It says in Deuteronomy 34:7 that Moses was just like a young man. He was still spry. He was still ready to go. And we need to have that same mentality. Another thing, when you're in shape and when you're fit, you can work better. You can be more productive. You can work longer. You can work harder. You can lift better. And even a practical side, you know, there's more opportunity for fun when you're older. When you're out of shape, when you're hurt, when you're always dealing with injuries, your range for fun, your range for recreation is very limited. And I've learned this from my dad recently. My dad is in his mid-50s, and he keeps up with us. He's got four younger sons, and he keeps up with us in skiing, in hiking, in paddleboarding, and all this stuff that we find ourselves doing. He's right there with us, and he's been able to do that because he keeps himself in shape. And he's not the type of guy, you know, to maybe spend an hour every day, but here and there, you know, he makes an effort to stay in shape. And I also think of this old guy from my church, Roger Doan. We had this men's ministry at one point, and one of the introductory points of this ministry is you had to do as many push-ups as you can at one point. And at this point in Roger Doan's life, he was 78 years old, and he was down there pumping out push-ups. And that was such an inspiration for every single man in the room. And I've gotten to know Roger since then, and I've helped him move a lot of stuff from his house. And he's not the type of guy to just direct people when they come to help him move. He's actually the one out there doing the moving as well. And it's so respectable to see that, to see an older man in his older age, but still spry, still getting out there and mixing it up with the younger men. It's motivating. It's inspiring for younger men. And it's just awesome. There's literally more opportunity for everything when you are in better shape. So we really do need to be in better shape. So we talked about how our faith is lived out in the body, how we need to take care of ourselves and be fit. And lastly, I want to talk about our bodies and the way we dress. And really, the Bible is concerned with how we dress, and is really concerned in a way that we need to manifest our sex by our dress. We need to manifest, we need to behave in such a way that manifests your maleness or your femaleness. And we see this a few times. There's this, you know, this kind of odd command for us in 1 Corinthians 11, where it says, if a man has long hair, it's to his shame. Now, I personally don't take that as if a man has long hair, it's inherently shameful. I think what the Apostle Paul is doing there is he is saying that men who grow long hair in such a way to present themselves as women, that is shameful. That is shameful. So we have a man here who is trying to put on the appearance as a woman. You can even think that he probably has mannerisms, like a woman behaves in such a way as behaves womanly, and that is shameful. Because we all know men, you know, athletes, football players, wrestlers, weightlifters who have long hair, and no one would confuse that person with a woman. And I think of my younger brother. My younger brother was a college athlete, a college football player, and when he had long hair, he was about 215 pounds, and no one in their right mind would mistake him for being effeminate, would mistake him for being womanly. They just wouldn't do that. So there's a way in which a man can have long hair, and not be womanly, but there's a way, certainly, in which a man can have long hair and act effeminately and act womanly. So I think the issue there is about our natures and displaying our nature as either male or female. And we know this kind of in the opposite way. When a man wants to become a woman, wants to transition to a woman, what do? They become really, really skinny. They lose a lot of weight. Lose a lot of the bulk that they had as a man, and they have to take hormones to repress a lot of those natural hormones in their body. We also have in Deuteronomy 22:5, it says that it's shameful for a woman to put on the garb of a man. And that's really talking about the garb of warfare there. But I think it can apply elsewhere. When a woman intentionally tries to dress in such a way to hide her sex and become more like a man, it is shameful. So the way we manifest ourselves in the world, the way we present ourselves, the way we dress, the way we live, the way we operate says something about us. It says something about us. And Jesus also says this in Matthew chapter 11. When Jesus is comparing John the Baptist to the Pharisees, it says that John the Baptist wore essentially pretty rugged clothes. You know, he was out in the wilderness. He was the one doing ministry out there. He was the one wearing camel hair, but the Pharisees were the one in the high courts, and the Pharisees wore soft clothing. And that word soft for soft clothing is the word that is translated in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 as effeminate in some translations. It is the word, sometimes it's translated as homosexuality. So what Jesus is saying is that the occupation of the Pharisees, where they placed themselves and the things they wore, communicated something to the wider world. It communicated that they were soft. It communicated they were effeminate, that they were not manly. And Jesus explicitly says that, especially when we look at the Greek text. And this also has to do, as I said, with our speech, has to do with our mannerisms. Men naturally have lower voices. Men naturally have broader shoulders. Men naturally have different mannerisms than women, and it should be that way because they have different natures. There is a nature to mankind in general, to human beings, but there is also a nature to man and a nature to woman, and we need to live those things out. We need to live those things out. Some people nowadays call this gendered piety. There's a way of godliness that is godly to a man, and there's a way of godliness that is godly to a woman. And this was kind of brought to my attention recently. Candace Owens, the conservative gal, kind of had a spat with this singer named Harry Styles. And Harry Styles was essentially being effeminate, and he's wearing dresses. He was wearing things that are culturally associated with women. He was wearing that as a man, which is shameful. And he was doing that. And Candace Owens called him out for that and basically said something like, "We need more masculine men." And, you know, I think every person knows who has a good sense, who is in touch with reality, that there really is a difference between a man who wears a dress and a man who is in battle. And Harry Styles played in that film Dunkirk, and Candace Owens essentially put a picture up of him wearing his dress, and then you know, in the cover of Vogue magazine or something like this, and then a picture of him in that battle uniform with dirt on his face, sweat on his brow, and those types of things. And it's obvious, you know, that people are just in general, people naturally will gravitate towards a man who is demonstrating his sex outwardly than a man who is not demonstrating his sex outwardly. So our bodies matter. Our bodies really do matter. The way we think about our bodies, the way that we act in the world with our bodies really do matter. So that's just a quick some thoughts on earthly Christianity and a philosophy, a theology of the body. Thanks for listening. Remember that pursuing virtus is a journey, and it's a road that we are always walking. With new information, it's now time to act. So be wise and take responsibility. Be courageous and do what you need to do today.